electric. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, Chris is good. All right, we're going to... For those who don't know or weren't here on Wednesday, last Sunday night, Pastor took a tumble and broke a couple bones in his wrist and fractured a bone in his elbow and his patella. That's your kneecap, for those who didn't know. And so just pray for him. I don't know how much longer he'll be out. You haven't be here tonight? You know, Brother Dave's going to be preaching the morning service and this evening service. So so pray for him. A quick recovery on that. He goes to the doctor tomorrow, correct? And he gets it looked at. Yeah, pray for that, because they're looking for a tendon that might be separated from the kneecap, see how it healed. Okay, because if it didn't heal properly or it's separated, he may have to have surgery and be out for quite a while. What's that? We got the peanut gallery in the back row today, huh? All right, let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. It's kind of funny, you know, that today is at the big Vikings game and all. And I know there's Vikings fans here, that's fine, but it's just kind of coming to church here for a while now and never having street preached before, but have started to, and standing out in a street corner and hearing every possible word imaginable, and everybody encouraging you by saying you're number one and calling you every name in the book. I think from now on when we go out, we're going to paint our bellies purple and yellow and hold up scripture signs. Then they won't know what to do then. But yeah, it's amazing. They'll cheer them on. You know, that's, oh man, way to go, way to have the spirit. You know, way to cheer on the team. But then they'll yell and cuss us out. That's just an amazing thing. But it was kind of interesting. You may not find this interesting, but I did. Maybe you might have already known this, but. Or thought about it. But Pastor read this verse last Sunday, this passage in Deuteronomy 4. It says, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, that the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, unless thou lift thine eyes up to heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. To think of all those things, the fish, the beasts, male or female, the stars, the heavens, and think of all the names of your professional football teams. All your professional basketball teams. They're all those things. This is something I noticed. You can take it or leave it. But I like watching football. I do. But there's some messed up things going on when you watch the game closely. Yes, I am a conspiracy on all that stuff. But anyways. Matthew. Proverbs chapter 6. This should be kind of interesting. It's one of those verses you read quite often, and you never really think about it. You never really apply it to yourself. You always, say this is a verse for that guy. You know. So we always find today is really good for pointing fingers. It started back in the garden. This woman you gave me, it wasn't my fault. Well, who put it in your mouth? You know, who fed you the fruit? You know. She didn't cram it down your throat. Oh, but she. Well, the serpent, it's been all throughout history. always pointing fingers. And so let's, I read this and it really hit me hard in a couple of areas in my own life. And I just hope I can, say it in such a way where you can think about it in a different way than you normally would. So let's go to Proverbs 6, starting in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. You put things in a way that we can understand them. The way that even the simplest of minds like mine can understand them and get an idea of how you want us to live as Christians. And Lord, even in this day now where things are really messed up in this world, we need the guidance of your word today to direct us and help us in how we need to live and how we need to act. Thank you again for the word of God and its simplicity. In your name, amen. All right, sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. So you think about this thing, ant, sluggard. What is a sluggard? So we go to the Bible. I mean, that's the only possible. I mean, God's used there. I love that name, sluggard. I mean, it's not a good title to have, but I love the way He uses words and the words He puts in the Word of God. I even put, every day at work, I put a verse up on the board. Most of them don't realize it's a verse. They just think it's a really neat phrase. But all of them knew what sluggard was. One guy goes, what is sluggard? What is that? And I go, think about it. And he goes, lazy? Slow? Yeah. Right on. The word just describes itself, sluggard. You know, you read the word and you're kind of like, just slug, just kind of nothing. Now, you got to understand, too, you can't confuse this with the word slothful. You hear this a lot of times where people use the words interchangeably, and they're really not. Because, you know, they're used separately in the Bible, so God puts words in the Word of God for a reason. You read the verses on for sluggard, and there's six of them. You read the ones on slothful, and there's eight of them. And they're all in Proverbs. And a slothful man, he refuses to work. He won't do a thing. He's the guy who puts his hand in his bosom and it's just an effort for him to bring it to his mouth again. Can you imagine that? You know, it's like in the morning, I want to roll over and see what time it is, but I really don't because I don't want to get up yet, you know. There's the remote way over there. But I just got to reach. Forget it, you know. That's, you know, slothful just refuses to work. We see a lot of that today in the world, don't we? They refuse to work. I see 60, 70-year-old men out there just, you know, busting their hump all day long, just working hard. That's all they know. My dad is almost 80 years old. He'll be 79 in June. And he works. He can't help but not do work. He's got to do something all day long. And I see 20 to 30-year-old guys who can't even get out of bed in the morning. They're really good at this. You know, they got really strong thumbs, you know. You flex your thumb. A little bicep. I don't know what you would call that. Thumb sec? You know, bicep. Anyways, really strong fingers, you know. They're really good, and they got good eye-hand coordination. Really good at that. And but it's really sad. Really slothful people today. Take out the garbage. Oh, you got to be kidding me! And it was interesting. I read. So I look up the. You take the prefix, a slug and a sloth, and you look up some information on these. It's really kind of funny. A sloth, when he's on the ground, if he makes it to the ground, you know how fast he goes? 6.5 feet per minute. It takes him a minute to go 6.5 feet. And that's when he's in fear of his life. Isn't that amazing? He sits in one tree his whole life. He sits in a tree and eats the leaves and the bark. And bugs and rodents they use him as a habitation because he's so slow. They just take up residence in his fur. And he comes down out of the tree once a week to use the bathroom. Once a week, he digs a hole. Imagine how long that takes. But he goes to the bathroom in the hole and then covers it up and around his tree. So it's really kind of neat. He fertilizes his own tree. So it keeps growing and he can stay there and it keeps getting leaves so he can eat. But that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Only God could have done that. He knows what to do. He's just really slow. That's slothful. If his baby falls out of the tree, he might not go get it because he may lose his life. You know, just kind of like, well, my baby, I don't want to go all the way down there and rescue my kid. But anyways, so sluggard and slothful, that's two different things. Sluggard, let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about sluggard. Verse 9 in that same chapter says, "How wilt thou sleep? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep?" How many of us have looked at our kids and said, "How long are you going to sleep today?" My dad always said, if you sleep past 9, you've lost half the day. Half the day's gone. You need to get up. So I beat that now. I get up at 4. Dad's proud of me. But, you know, he likes his sleep. A sluggard likes his sleep. Let's go over to chapter 10. Let's go through some quick verses here on what a sluggard is. He likes his sleep. Chapter 10, verse 26. "As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to them that send him." Vinegar to the teeth. Vinegar is an acidic liquid, obviously. And you get that in your mouth and it wears away the enamel on your teeth. And how many of you had sensitive teeth or a sensitive tooth? And you bite in, right in, and it hurts. Man, living, you bite on ice or something, and you're like, oh, man. And a smoke in the eyes, you know, you sit around the campfire and the smoke always seems to follow you around wherever you sit. And the wind just shifts and blows the smoke right into your eyes, and you're like, "Okay, we got a job to do today. Let's. Who we got left that we can send on this job?" Oh, it's an irritant. I got to send him on this job. They just kind of close their eyes, or just hurts to think about. It's an irritant, a sluggard. He's just kind of, I don't want to send him. He just doesn't do. He doesn't do what I want him to do, or he does it really slow, and it's a pain in the neck. I don't want to send him. Let's go over to chapter 13. So sluggard is he likes to sleep, and he's an irritation. You know, somebody who, you know, mostly it's like training a new guy in at work. You get a new guy, you know how to do the job, you know how to do the work, or showing your kids how to properly make their bed, or teaching them a job around the house, and you're like, you know how to do it. So it's irritating to sit there and watch them move. You're just kind of like, okay, you do it like this. No. You do it like this. And like this. No. You do it like, and it's irritating. You want to sit in there and jump in right away and help them out. You say, oh, just let me do it. You know, let me do it. And you jump in and do it, and then they don't learn. So, but it's like training in somebody, and they're really slow at learning, and you got to keep repeating. It's like, come on. Anyways, chapter 13, verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." He's a procrastinator and he's lazy. He knows what needs to be done, but this couch is really comfortable. This chair is really comfortable. I'll put it off. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. We had a slow leak in our basement. The plumbing was an old, I don't know, 1910 water softener in there. And it had a pipe, an old steel pipe in there that had a slow leak. And you could tell this thing was starting to rot through and was going to burst at any minute. And, you know, so I'm just sitting there, but I put this thing off. You know, put a bucket under it. It'll be fine. And put this off for weeks and weeks and weeks. So the other night, I finally got the nerve to do this thing. And they got these new plumbing fixtures. They're called shark bites. Have you seen those things? And it basically you disconnect the pipe, put this on, and connect them, and they're good. Don't leak or not. You don't. That's about how quick it is. But the thing was with this pipe, I went and bought a valve, a shark bite valve, and all this copper tubing, and I'm getting ready to do this thing that I'd put off for months. And I move the dryer out, and I get all situated. I'm all ready to go. And I get ready to do it, and I'm ready to cut the pipe, and I'm thinking, if this valve doesn't, because the main valve, the main water valve for the whole house is what's bad, because it doesn't shut the water off totally. So if I cut this pipe and I put this shark bite on and it doesn't close the valve and it doesn't shut the water off, what am I going to do? Because I still got an open valve. It's open. It's going to be leaking all over the place. What am I going to do? You know, sit there and bail water into the drain all night until a plumber can get there. And then so I went ahead and did it anyways. And I'm like, you know, I was nervous. So I finally cut it, and the water starts spraying out and starts shooting out, and finally got the thing cut and separated. I put that shark bite on and closed the valve, and it worked. Shut the water right off. Oh, that was amazing. And then I proceeded to solder all the rest of it. It's really a work of art. You should see it. But if, you know, where was I going with this? Oh, I put it off. I just kept putting it off. And then finally I got around to where I did it. It could have been a major disaster. If we would have gone away for a few days and this thing would have broke, the whole basement would have been flooded. But a sluggard, you know, just putting it off. I was a sluggard. I just kept putting these things off. It's something I should have done a long time ago. Chapter 20. So a sluggard, he likes to sleep. He's an irritation. He's a procrastinator, lazy. Chapter 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. If there was something to do this morning, a sluggard will not do it because it's cold outside. He will not do it because it's cold. But that's the only time. It doesn't say he'll work in ideal conditions. If the environment is perfect, he'll work. He'll be fine. But he also has excuses, a lot of excuses. You know, it's really cold out. You know, it's 26 below wind chill, and my boots are only good for 20 below. So I don't want to venture out. That'd be too risky. Let's go to chapter 26. So he's got excuses. Chapter 26, 16. This is an interesting verse. It really is. The sluggard. Verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. But, a sluggard will say, it's too cold, I'm not going to go out and work. But seven other guys will come in and say, I'm all dressed, I get out there and the car won't start. Or I get out there and equipment is broke, so I can't complete the job. Or seven men that can render a reason. He's wiser in his own conceit. He's so conceited, thinking that, I'm just not going to go out and work. That's smarter than these guys that he actually have a reason. You know. And then it's kind of interesting that you go back three verses from that. No, that's a different one. Where was it? The one that says, a man that is wiser in his own conceit? 12? Oh, yeah, verse 12. Seest thou a man that is wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So there's your sluggard. There's your sluggard. And we all know So here we got the attributes of a sluggard according to the Word of God. He likes to sleep. He's an irritation. He's a procrastinator. He's lazy. Makes excuses, but he'll work if it's an ideal environment. Ideal, perfect, you know, for him. It's just for him, not for everybody else, but for him. And he's very conceited, thinking that everything he does is right. I'm right in what I'm doing. I'm good. I have every right to stay in my bed this morning. I have every right to stay on my sofa and flip channels all night long and not fix that leaky pipe in the basement. So conceited. He's got a favorable conceit. The definition of conceit is a favorable opinion of one's own worth or value. You know, this company would go under if it wasn't for me. You know, really? If you looked in the mirror lately, you know, I'm really something. This place wouldn't even operate without me. So here you go. When you think of a slug, you know, you think of a snail. So this is kind of interesting facts. This is really interesting stuff here. You're going to be glad you came when I read this. So I typed in speed of a snail on the internet. Speed of a snail. This is, you can't make this stuff up. I can't believe people actually had this much time on their hands to do this research, you know, this earth-shattering research. A garden snail, this is according to the World Almanac Book of Facts, 1999, a garden snail goes 3/100ths of a mile per hour. It's about right. You think of a sluggard? It's about how quick he is. A large banana slug has been observed to cover 6.5 inches in 120 minutes. I can't even imagine. It's 0.00023 meters per second. It says here, at that rate, a tortoise would seem fleet-footed. This is hilarious. To me, it is. A garden snail named Archie, owned by Carl Branhorn of Pot Row, England, covered a 13-inch course in 2 minutes at the 1995 World Snail Racing Championships held in Longan, England. Now, this will explain everything to you. This is why this is so... The Guinness Gastropod Championship held in the O'Connor Don Pub. Okay, does that kind of further explain what's going on here? In central London also featured the attempt to break... This is the attempt to break the world 13-inch sprint record. Sprint record currently held by Archie at 2 minutes 20 seconds. But it turned out to be a disappointing day for Mr. Riseborough, whose fastest snail came in at 6 minutes 26 seconds to travel 13 inches. This Archie, they keep talking about this Archie. He must be in the Snail Hall of Fame. So here, the record is held by a mollusk called Archie, who took 2 minutes 20 seconds to cover the course. He was given a silver tankard filled with lettuce. The snails are placed in the center of an inner circle from which they must travel 13 inches to the outer circle that forms the finishing line. Isn't that amazing? I got an idea. You know, yeah, here, let's, those old tiles you ripped up, we found a bunch of snails in there. Let's race them. Let's see if we race. Let's see who the fastest snail is. Yeah. All right, so now we got all the attributes of a sluggard. Likes to sleep. He's an irritation. He's a procrastinator. He's lazy. He doesn't put forth the effort. You know, everyone knows a sluggard or is one in one part of your life. You really are. I mean, there's some things you really don't want to do. And you put it off and you put it off and finally you do it. And I've done it. Excuses. You got to be an ideal work environment. How about you sit in the break room at work and all you hear is people complaining about the working conditions? Oh, man. What about our contract? You know what? You know what so-and-so did? You know what the administration did now? You know what they did today? It's so terrible to work here. It's just, unbelievable. It's just, oh, come on. They just leaving, you know how snails leave a trail of slime? Yeah, that's it. It's just a big slime trail in there. Just gross. You got to watch where you step. I don't like to go into my break room anymore because it's a big downer. Well, you know, oh, man, that was nice. We got that bonus this week. Well, yeah, it could have been a little more. Oh, slime trail, you know, just unbelievable. Just really? Yeah, right, brother. It's just disgusting. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't like to go in the break room anymore because you get back to your work and you're like, man, this is terrible. I just can't believe I got to sit in this chair. So here we go, sluggards. Let's go. We're gonna go take a little field trip here. We're gonna go to the ants. We're gonna check out the ants here for a while, and it says, and we're just gonna observe the ants. So what I did. In your imaginations, you can follow what I did. I went onto the internet and looked up a lot of this stuff, all right? So just, let's pretend. Let's go to the land of make-believe. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. All right? So ants, you think of ants and you just think of pests. I mean, you really do. When we moved to Arizona, when I was in third grade, we lived in Mesa for a little while. And the day we moved in, it was 116 degrees. And so that'll make you appreciate what's going on out here. That's what the degree swing is here in the summertime. It's kind of woo. Sorry, I didn't mean to get wound up here. Oh, I lost the clip. All right, I'll find that later. Busting everything up here. Moved like an ant. So me and my brother we'd always find things to do. We didn't have a TV. So we'd go outside and find things to do. There's things outside to do. There really is. It's kind of neat. So we're walking down the street and across from our house was a field of sand. Imagine that in Arizona. And we're walking down, we found this huge ant pile. Huge. I mean, it was all red ants. And we're like watching these ants, like, wow, we're looking at them, you know. And you see, if you stand in one place too long, they're going to bite you. If you stand in one place too long, you know, you move away a little farther. But they're just always going, right? They're just moving along. And they're like, that's crazy. So, okay, that's cool. So we keep walking down the street. And we found this, about 20 feet away was another big ant pile, and it was black ants. But off to the left, about 5 feet, there was a red ant and a black ant going at it. I mean, they were just going at it. They were, just going at it. So it was just like, ding. You know, we're like, all right. So me and my brother go get a cup. And we dig a hole in the black ant pile and put the cup in there. And it just ding, 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 you know, and it gets full of ants. And we take the cup out and bring it over to the red ant pile. Boom! And just a big, it was just a big melee. It was just unbelievable. These ants were just going at it. It was just a big ball of ants going at it. And you sit there and watch it. It's just unbelievable. And then a little while later, about an hour later, you come back and there's one ant left that's moving. And he's got like one leg or two legs. And he's just hobbling around. And there's just parts of ants all over the place. It's unbelievable. And we ended up finding army ants and red ants with black tails and black ants with red tails. We didn't know the names of them. They're just ants. And we started having tournaments. You know, who would win these things? You know, and we'd dump them all together. We'd take all five ants and dump them in one pile and just see who came out winning. And my dad, he got into it. He would say, we'd have company over, oh, you should see these ants. You know, so... But before you know it, all the ants were depleted in that pile, and there was nothing coming out anymore. So we were very hard on the Earth's ecosystem. But anyway, so ants are just moving. And one thing I found out on the speed of a snail is what, 13 one-hundredths of a mile an hour? A speed of an ant. They timed this one ant. There was these ants going back on this fence post, and back and forth working, you know, like they always do. They're always working. And so the guy drew a 12-inch thing and timed them, how long it took him to get from one end to the other. It averaged out 129 miles an hour. 129 miles an hour. Imagine an ant our size. That'd be unbelievable. It'd be like a Corvette. Woof! And all the work this guy would get done, you'd need a one-man crew. That's all you'd need. You get all the work done. But ants, 129 miles an hour. Yes, sir. You got to remember one thing about ants. The velocity Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's kind of like us, right? Yeah. Oh, it's 26 below. I just go to church and. No, they're not. No, no. But and there's no real chain of command. Okay, let's. The only time ant appears in the Bible is in this verse. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. So let's go consider her ways. You sit and watch. I flipped on this one. It was army ants in Africa. These things are mean. But I flipped on this video and watch them. And you watch, just like I mentioned, in any ant pile, you watch any ant pile. This one guy went up to a pile, a big ant pile of fire ants. It was about that high. And he poked it with a stick. He said, watch this. And it was just a big pile of sand. He poked it, and within seconds, it was just black. I mean, just, you know, what's going on? You know, what's going on here? These ants are just all over the place, always doing something. So the first thing I noticed, observation, we're looking at ants now. We've all determined that, I'll speak for myself. I have determined that I am a sluggard. The Bible tells me to go check out these ants and learn. Consider their ways. All right? The first thing I know is they're hard workers. They're hard workers. You watch these ants, and they carry things that are either the size or even bigger than their bodies. This one video I watched, it looked like a bunch of leaves going across the ground. And an ant was carrying a leaf, a big leaf. Or they're carrying these eggs, and they're carrying food that's twice their size. And they don't give up until that piece of food or that egg or whatever has gotten to where it's supposed to go. All right? I took a video of an ant. I have it on my phone right now. In our driveway, this ant was carrying something like that big, and it was bigger than he was, but he'd grab it and back up and throw it and grab it and back up and throw it and carry it. He did whatever he could to get it where he needed to go. They are hard workers. They don't stop. The second thing I realized, everyone had a job. There's all these guys, they had in this video, the ants, the army ants in Africa, they formed a tunnel. There was all these little ants on the edge of the trench, and all these huge ants, I mean big ants. There was one of them, no lie, he was as big as a scorpion. A small scorpion, but he was big. And these are the protector ants. These are the guard ants. They're standing up waiting for anybody to come and, you know, interrupt their tunnel. They're transferring all this food. I mean, you see hundreds and thousands of ants just taking all this food and eggs and leaves and particles and whatever it is, you know, and just, you know, going through this tunnel, and they're up there just protect. That's all their job is. They're standing on top of these other ants. That one, the little ants underneath, where all they did was sit there and support the big ants. You know, sitting there, they're the support. And then the big ants are up top just waiting to chomp on something. And then all the other ants are transferring all this stuff to the hill. So everybody had their job. And everybody was doing their job. You don't hear ants going, I want to be a leaf carrier. I want to be a guard. I want to protect. No, they're doing the job they were given. You know, so here's another thing. Everyone gets along. You don't hear any crying or complaining about who you got to work with that day. You know, I worked the security for the Twins for, I think it was six seasons, and you go out there and the one big thing you get is you get the schedule and who's working where, and you're hoping you don't get a real jerk to work with. You open up the schedule and say, okay, good. It's somebody I can talk to, somebody I can relate to, somebody from my work that I already work with. Or you open it up and you're like, oh, I don't want to work with this guy. I was pointing the finger, you know. What a lazy, I'm such a better worker than he is, you know. But everybody's getting along. They know they have a job to do and they work together to get it done. Okay? They don't like intruders. My land, this scorpion crawled into what they were doing, That scorpion, I mean, one ant, two ants, three, five, 10,000, they're all over this thing. Just, they're all, they kill it. And they basically tear them apart to pieces and drag them to the hole for food later on. It's unbelievable. They just attack. Don't like, you're not one of us. You're not here to help us with this job. Get out. And we'll get you out. And very rarely did anything escape that anthill, if anything did. They had a big crab, a crab about this big, just kind of, you know, going along how they are, you know, with their pinchers up. And an ant got on him, and he's trying to flick it off, and another ant, and he was flicking it. All of a sudden, he had like 10 ants on. He couldn't move, and before you know it, it was dead. I mean, they were just, you couldn't even see it. It was gone. There was one instance, a frog. They showed a frog, a full frog, and it showed the time lapse, and when they left, it was a skeleton. Unbelievable. They don't like intruders, these ants. They just don't like them. All the work gets done. You know, I don't know what a, you know, I don't know what an ant has to do during the day, okay? I'm not an ant. But they, you know, I'm sure they have a work list. I don't know if they do or not. But they know what they got to get done, and they work all day long and get done what they need to get done, and then they're gone. You've come up to an anthill where it's calm and nothing's going on. But when it's work time, when it's daytime, they're gone. They're doing whatever they got to do. So all the work gets done. Number seven, they have no guides, no overseers, and no rulers. You don't see an ant there with a clipboard. You know, so why don't you go work over there today, and you two go ahead and be a guard today. And you know, there's nobody doing that. There's no guides. There's nobody down there. You know, with the flashlight. Okay, larva. Oh, leaves, go over here. Nothing like that. They all know what they got to do, and they all know where everything goes, and they all take care of it and do it. There's no hierarchy. There's no, you know, like in the Navy, we had, you know, captains, you know, ensigns, and we had chiefs and petty officers, and then seamen recruits, and right down the line, and you know what I'm talking about, and it goes from the captain down to the XO, down to the, you know, the command duty officer, down to you, and then you got to get a crew together to get it done. That isn't the way it works in the ant world, from what I've seen on these videos. Everybody's got a job to do. They do it, and they do it together, and they work. They get the job done with no arguing, no complaining, no nothing. They're working. You know, when we complain about people at work, you know, we just need to worry about ourselves. We really do. So let's take these things that ants do in the next couple minutes. Let's apply it to ourselves, first of all. Are you a hard worker? Are you so enthralled in your job that you don't have time to sit here and look around and see how everybody else is doing? If you got time to look around and complain, maybe you should find something else to do too. How about at church? Are you more concerned that when you get up in the morning, or are you more concerned about how that person was in that visitation yesterday, or are you concerned about how concentrated and you were concentrating on how you could serve God that day? You know, let's take a personal look at this thing. How about you know, God has gifted you with certain abilities. Are you using them? Or are you worried about, I know that guy can sing. I don't know why he's not singing. I don't know why he's not doing specials. I know he can play an instrument. I don't know why he's not in the orchestra. What are you doing with what God gave you? What about you? Are you being a sluggard or are you being an ant? You finding all you can do for the Lord and doing it? What has God gifted you with? You know, if you're not sure, pray about it. Or ask people, what do you think I could do? Maybe other people could advise you and let you know. I don't know. Everyone is doing their job. Everybody, you know, you're not sitting back worried about, well, I know I could teach my kids better than that. Better than that guy. Well, I wouldn't use that illustration. Well, you know, what are you doing with your job? What are you doing? Are you doing your job? Everybody, why don't you worry about your job? Are you serving the Lord where you can serve the Lord? You know, I never in my furthest imaginations at one time did I ever think I'd be up here teaching the Word of God. Never. Ever, ever, ever. And never did I realize how hard it is. I never realized how hard it is and how exhausting it is to get up here and talk and study and to get ready. You know, I used to say of pastors, they get up and preach three times a week. How hard can that be? It's exhausting. It really is. It really is. It's because you're standing up here with something more important than anything in the world today, the Word of God. And you're charged with teaching it right, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you're teaching other people, you're guiding them, you're trying to help them to live a better Christian life. What a responsibility that is. And then I come along, was it 6-7 years ago we came along? And most people here have been sitting under the teaching of Pastor Stevens for 20 plus years, and I'm supposed to teach you something new? Come on. Really? But what about your job? What are you doing? I can only concentrate on me. I can't point a finger and I can't say this. Well, he should have done this better. I don't know how God led that person. I can't sit here and criticize that, what he said or how he said it. But I can take notes and say, well, if I ever get the opportunity, you know, I could mention this. This is what God showed me. Or maybe go talk to him later and just share. But don't criticize. That goes on to the next one. Everybody gets along. We're here to work together. This church is unusual. Last week, they had 35 people at visitation. That's more than most churches have in a year. Seriously. You know, most people today are staying home from church and painting their bellies purple and their faces all kinds of colors, and they're going to go out with no shirts and 26 below zero and cheer on their gods. And they're great, they're cool, they're awesome, but we're here learning about the God from the Word of God. We should be going along saying, way to go, good job, way to hang in there. Cool, I love that you're here in church cheering on our God instead of in the big church they're building downtown, U.S. Bank Stadium. That's all it is. It's just a big church. I mean, you see, they showed footage of this one guy sitting in his seat. I mean, it couldn't have been, I think he's in the top row, second deck. I mean, and it looks like an ant pile. Yeah. Going up down the field, you know. Why would you be excited about a seat like that? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting... We don't like intruders. Most people that come and visit here, once they hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, the truth, they don't stay around long. They don't stay around long because they're getting attacked. The Word of God, boom. The Word of God does not return void. It's convicting. It convicts a heart. It convicts a life. It convicts a soul. And a person sits back there is just looking to go to church, and they come here, oh, I'm in the wrong place. I got to get out of here. You know, boom, 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 boom. You know, people coming up to him, oh, where do you go to church? You saved? You know, you serving God? You go out and visit, you go and sell, you know, what? I'm out of here. And before you know it, they're out of here. They realize they're in the wrong place. They're not here to help. I remember one night they had those, I think they were Mormons that came in here and sat through the service. And afterwards, no lie, it was Steve Caribou, Brother Grissom, Brother Dave, and Pastor had these guys surrounded, and they were going at it. I mean, it was just like they wandered into the wrong ant pile. Boom, 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 boom. Those guys were like, oh, no, 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 you know, this is me. Oh, no, no, and they just kept it, boom, 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 and finally they took off. We don't like intruders. Don't come in here and teach your false gospel. It's not going to last. You're going to get attacked. Not by people. I mean, we're not going to pile on you. You know, it's just, pow! You're done, buddy. What did you say? You know, just letting them have it. No, it just you're going to get pecked to death by the Word of God, the truth. You're not going to want to be there after a while. Okay, I got to stop going off on rabbit trails. All the work's getting done. Like I said last week, 35 people on visitation. Praise God. This is a big area, but hey, if we're the only church going to do it, let's do it. Let's all go. If you can walk up and take a piece of paper and stick it in the door, we're good. That's it. If you come to visitation and say, well, can I just take a stack of tracks and go hit all these streets over here? Go for it. I don't have to talk to anybody? No. Just stick in their door or hand it to them real quick and run away. You're just getting the truth out. Getting the gospel out. That's our job. No guides, overseers, or rulers. That's ants. We have a guide. We have an overseer. We have a ruler. Pastor, I love the church. I love this because pastor, when he gets done preaching, he doesn't run to his office. He doesn't run out the side door. He goes around and starts talking to people. He wants to know where people are at. He cares about you. He comes up and he sits down with you and say, how's your week? Or what's going on? When he's not breaking bones and stuff. You know? But he goes around and visits and talks with people and he cares about you. He's concerned. You know, when you're in the hospital or you're homesick, he calls, hey, where were you, brother? He's not saying, oh, where were you? Where was your tithe? You know, why did you send your tithe? You know, why weren't you at visitation yesterday? He's not like that. I love it. He lets the Holy Spirit prick your heart. But he cares about you. He's not running and hiding. We have a guide. We have an overseer. We have a guide, an overseer. We don't have a ruler. We're going to answer to the ruler one day. God, we're going to stand before God and give an account of your life. Why weren't you at the meeting? Why weren't you helping haul food today? Why didn't you read my word more? I mean, I heard a pastor say once, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth and study to show yourself approved. You study for tests. So imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and he takes a Bible and gives it to you. Okay, turn to where it talks about raising children. Turn to where it talks about how a church is supposed to be run. What about the deity of my son? What a humbling thing that would be, huh? What a test that would be. Huh. It would be amazing. Man, living. I got only a few minutes here. How about your family? Let's go down the line real quick. Hard workers. Are we teaching our kids to be hard workers? I fall short in that. I have. Where you say, take out the garbage. That's a sluggard. You know, a sluggard, that's the key motion of a sluggard. Hey, can you do this for me? They go and do it, but it's not with the right attitude. That's a sluggard. You know, it's going, oh, kidding me. What's the temperature outside? 26 below. Oh. We got to go to church. You know, really, you get done with work, get off at whatever time you get off at 5 o'clock, 4:55. Hey, I just got this last minute thing for you. Oh. Really? Okay, so family. Are we teaching our kids to be workers? Everybody has a job. Are we teaching our kids God's gifted you with certain things? You need to use those for the Lord. Everyone gets along. Everyone is doing their job. You're not looking at, kids oftentimes, well, we do too. We're pointing fingers. We talked about it, pointing fingers. Why aren't they doing theirs? Why do I have to do it and they don't? You know, well, that's not what you're going to be asked. Did you do what you could have done? Did you do what you could have done? Yesterday, I'll say it because Joseph's not in here. Yesterday we watched the Blazer basketball tournament over here, and they lost in the last seconds, 38-37. Guy sunk a three-pointer, went ahead by 1 point, And I asked Joseph when he came in this morning, that was kind of a heartbreaker yesterday, huh? And he goes, yeah. He said, but I did all I could do. There you go. What more can you ask? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, we teach our kids to be hard workers. Everybody gets along. Does your family all get along? Is there tension there? Are we sitting back and we see something that may be creeping into our family and we don't jump on it right away, we procrastinate? Before you know it, it's too late. Wow, I could have done that a little better. I could have been a little quicker on the draw on that one. I could have corrected that and this wouldn't be going on right now. This tension in our family could have been solved if I would have gotten off my lazy butt and done something about it. Don't like intruders. If a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door and I'm not there, I hope my kids can just take him to task. I have to teach them that. I have to teach them to work that. Because I don't want my kid thinking of Jehovah's Witnesses are pretty good. They're not. They're trash. Not the people, they're beliefs. My dad says you're trash. No, that's not what I meant. They're still souls. You know, I want to be able to say, hey, the Bible says, because all they're saying is, this man said. They don't even know the Bible. Is all the work getting done? I want my kids to be doing right if I'm not there. I don't want them to be doing right because the guide, the overseer, and the ruler is not there. I want them to do right if I'm not there. That's honoring your father and your mother. Obeying is when they tell you to do something, you do it. Honoring is doing it when they're not there. That's what I want. That's what I want for my kids, my family. I want them to do right when I'm not there. How about our church? Hard workers. This church is. Everybody pitches in. Everybody does. Everybody has their thing. We got people on visitation. We got people in nursing homes. We got people. Brother Chris handles the offerings. We got people that are willing to do the ushering. We got people that are willing to do the singing, playing the orchestra. We had a group of people a couple years ago that painted the auditorium and painted the lobby. Everybody's doing a part to make this church function right. We've got taken van loads of people down to the state fair, and every night it's a different bunch of people. Praise God. Handing out tracts, handing out the gospel, getting the word of God out. Go out street preaching, a different bunch of people. They are a different bunch of people. And out there standing on a corner with a street sign yelling and screaming at cars or people going by. That's great. Hard workers. Everybody has a job. Like I mentioned, you may not have the greatest voice. You may not be able to play an instrument. But you can serve in some way. You can do work around the church. Call pastor. I bet he's got something he can do for you. You see a gum wrapper on the floor, pick it up. It's that simple. Making jello jigglers for every eating thing we got. Brother Jeff's good at making jello jigglers, man. They are good. Everybody's got a job. Don't walk around envying or coveting after somebody else's position. God's put them there for a reason. Don't say, boy, I wish I could do that job. And then once you get it, you wish, well, I wish I hadn't said that. Be content with such things as you have. God's given you all different jobs. He's given you talents to do. Use them for His ability, and God's going to bless you for it. He's going to bless you for it, and He's going to open other doors and opportunities for you to move on. Everyone gets along. That's a tough one, isn't it? Every one of us is different. Every one of us comes from a different family. Everybody has a different background. Everybody has different actions. Everybody has different ways to handle things. Don't look at a person and say, well, I don't care for the way they do that. That's not me. You're right. It's not you. Don't worry about them. You worry about you. What can you do to help that person do their job better? Pretty simple. We mentioned it. Don't like intruders. We mentioned about the Mormon guys back here. Usually people get pecked to death and leave if they don't like what they're hearing. It's not a big deal. It's people here are pretty strong in what they believe. From what, you know, you can talk to anybody around here and share Scripture, and they're happy to hear it. Or they'll come up and share Scripture with you and look what the Lord did for me this week. Praise God. It helps us get stronger. Iron sharpeneth iron, right? All the work gets done. There's people that clean this church every week. We don't notice that. We really don't. But they come in here and they work for, you know, 3-4 hours, however long it takes, to vacuum, clean, pick up trash, clean the bathrooms. They're doing what God gave them. They're doing something for this church and making it function right. Visitor comes in and the bathroom stinks. That's what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember the conviction or the sermon. They're going to think about, wow, that thing really stunk. They didn't flush the toilet. So you got that going. We got people that do that. And then, are you doing right when pastor's not there? When you're at church, do you put on a facade? When you're around other Christians, is that when you act right? When pastor comes over, do you have to take things out of your refrigerator and hide them in the garage? Are you doing right when he's not there? You doing right? You know, the thing is, God sees everything. You're not going to answer, stand before Kyle Stevens one day. All right, I preached this sermon on March 22nd, 1998. Do you remember what it was? Are you doing it? No. You're going to stand before an almighty God whose eyes are in every place seeing the evil and the good. He knows everything you did. Are you doing good when you don't think he's around? Are we honoring him? Do we really need somebody over us to prod us? To say, hey, why weren't you there? No, you shouldn't be a sluggard. You know, we tend to be sluggards in many areas of our life, but let's not. Let's consider the ant. Not only in our work, not only in our walk, but in our Christian life, our church, our families. There's so many areas we can look at and say, wow, I could really pick up the slack here a little bit. You know, I could go to the ant. I can learn a lot from the ant. He only mentioned it once. And it, you know, once is enough. Should be. But let's not sleep. You know, he says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little fooling in the hands of sleep. So shall thy poverty come. Is it going to be too late and you're going to be broke? Is it going to be too late and your family is going to be a bunch of derelicts? Is it going to be too late and you realize I could have done so much more to serve my Lord and Savior? Not only here, but in life. Let's go to the ant. Go to the ant. Go. I challenge you, go on the internet and watch these ants. It's an amazing thing. They're always doing something. Got to do something. There's no friction. They're all helping each other. Check it out. I challenge you to do that. But I'm not here pointing fingers at anybody. I'm pointing fingers at myself. That's what this sermon did to me. It's kind of like, wow, I got a lot of work to do. Got a lot of work to do. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this.